From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is preaching a series of studies in the book of Judges. As he examines the ministry of Gideon, the greatest of the judges, he is considering how the Lord prepared his servant to do battle with the Midianites. The principles found here are applicable to all spiritual warfare. The text is chapter 6, verses 36 through 40, which contains the famous account of Gideon's fleece as he sought for assurance that God would really be with him. Many valuable lessons are contained in this passage, among which is the need for the Lord's servants to prove God. Gideon was only a man, but God graciously bore with his weak faith and confirm the promise of victory. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue the first of four messages entitled Four Steps in Spiritual Warfare. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century preacher C.H. Spurgeon.
Today's devotional is entitled Because of Us. The text is Matthew 24, verse 22, For the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. For the sake of his elect, the Lord withholds many judgments and shortens others. In great tribulations, the fire would devour all, were it not that, out of regard to his elect, the Lord damps the flame. Thus, while he saves his elect for the sake of Jesus, he also preserves the race for the sake of his chosen. What an honor is thus put upon saints! How diligently they ought to use their influence with their Lord. He will hear their prayers for sinners and bless their efforts for their salvation. He blesses believers that they may be a blessing to those who are in unbelief. Many a sinner lives because of the prayers of a mother or wife or daughter to whom the Lord has respect. Have we used aright the singular power with which the Lord entrusts us? Do we pray for our country, for other lands, and for the age? Do we, in times of war, famine, pestilence, stand out as intercessors, pleading that the days may be shortened? Do we lament before God the outbursts of infidelity, error, and licentiousness? Do we beseech our Lord Jesus to shorten the reign of sin by hastening his own glorious appearing? Let us get to our knees and never rest till Christ appeareth.
I shall see the King in his beauty, in the land that is far away. When the shadows at length have lifted, and the darkness has turned to day, to behold the Chief of 10,000, for my soul this were joy enough. Suffice for the bliss of heaven that the Lamb is the light thereof. I shall see him in the glory, the Lamb that once was slain. How I'll then resound the wondrous story. Hallelujah, hallelujah, was slain. Who can tell the glorious meeting when the Lord shall bring home his own? With one sight all his saints are raptured, the Lamb in the midst of the throne. I shall see was slain. Now how then resounds his wondrous glory with all the ransom train. Alleluia, alleluia to the Lamb that once was slain. Alleluia, alleluia to the Lamb that once was slain. I shall see him, I shall be like him, by one glance of his face transformed. And this body of sin and darkness to the image of Christ conformed.
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions, such as, why did Christ have to be born a man? Why does God allow suffering? What is the unpardonable sin? And what's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such questions. All of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. But we're also pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 20th century Christian. You may have a copy of the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
last saw Gideon, he had broken down the altar of Baal. He had rebuilt the altar of Jehovah. He had blown the trumpet in Israel. And 32,000 men of Israel had answered that summons, coming at his call to do battle against the Midianites. And so the scene was set for a very decisive battle for national freedom and for spiritual purity. From the verses we have read tonight through to verse 21 in chapter 7, you have what I call four steps in spiritual warfare. As I say, I doubt that we're going to cover them all tonight. But if not tonight, in the will of God, we will finish them in due course. Four steps in spiritual warfare. As you examine the experience of Gideon and the people whom God raised up to serve under Gideon, you will discover a very clear and telling parallel with our day, with God's people in this day, and with the experiences we must have if we are going to know the blessing of God upon our lives and upon our service for Him. In the passage we have read tonight, we find, first of all, Gideon proving God. It's a very interesting way in which he proves the Lord. He takes a fleece and he lays it before the Lord and asks first that it will be wet with dew overnight. There's a very heavy dew in Palestine, as it's now called, but in Israel. And he said, let it be dry on the ground all around. Then later, let the ground be wet and let the fleece be dry. Very interesting that he should use the fleece. In many ways, I think that fleece is a perfect picture of Gideon's own life. First of all, he only had it because of the death of a lamb. That's how he got the fleece. That's how he had the life that he enjoyed at that time. It is a very, very important thing for you and for me to recognize that the life we have is not our own. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and he says, don't you know you are not your own? You are bought with a price. Your life is like that fleece. It is yours because the Lamb of God died. The Lamb of God gave up His life in order that you might have life. It's yours by the blood of Christ. What a wonderful thing that the eternal life that throbs vitally within us is because of the blood of the Lamb. There's the gospel in a nutshell, you know. Some of you in this meeting tonight, you have life as the world calls it, but you have death as God calls it. Dead in trespasses and in sins. All that the world thinks is the glorious evidence of life, God says, is but the noise of rattling bones in a graveyard. You're dead without Christ. But all you can have life tonight, life through the blood of Christ, life through the slain lamb, you can receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I trust that before you leave this house tonight, you'll make sure that you have real, spiritual, everlasting life by faith in Jesus Christ. And once you have that life, like this fleece, it must be brought to the Lord. He gives it. It must be given to Him in total surrender and dedication. I find in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 4 that the fleece is offered to the priest as a first fruit. I find there a wonderfully clear and simple spiritual lesson. My life is but a fleece. It is given me as the gift of God through the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is not given me to spend on self and sin. It is not given me to dissipate in worldliness. It is given me in order that it should be laid at the feet of Him who purchased it for me. It should be rendered back to God in dedication and love to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you're saved and you take that life and you give it to the Lord for His service, what you're doing is like Gideon saying, Lord, there's a fleece and I want to prove God with that fleece. Can you think of anything more worthwhile to do with your life? Man, if you don't prove the Lord with your life, you've wasted your life. But if you will take that life that God has given you and bring it before the Savior, render it unto Him as the offering of a heart that's in love with Christ, and let the Lord do with that as He will, if you will give it up for God to be proved and to be manifested through your life, then your life will have been lived to the full. Those people have lived best who have lived to prove their God. Proving God always entails a sacrifice. I think, again, the very mention of the fleece should remind us of that. We receive the life because of the sacrifice of Christ. We consecrate that life because of our personal identification with Christ crucified, and because of our sacrifice unto Christ. Paul said in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And if you're ever going to prove God, it will be in the place of sacrifice. Now, sacrifice to the worldly mind is a purely negative thing. Sacrifice is a long-faced matter. Sacrifice is giving up and giving up and giving up. That's not the scriptural idea. Sacrifice, sure, is death to the flesh. Yes, sacrifice puts the knife of the Word of God to the heart of the flesh. But sacrifice is the highest enjoyment of worship. Sacrifice is the offering of the overflowing heart to the God who saved it. Sacrifice is the closest identification and fellowship with Christ that we are capable of on earth. And that's why Paul said, giving the great desire of his heart, that I might know Christ and the fellowship of his sufferings. Oh, you'll never know the power of his resurrection until you've been with him in Gethsemane, until you've been with him in Gabbatha, until you've been with him in Golgotha, until you know the emptying of the heart of self. You'll never prove your God in the place of resurrection power. This life given by the blood of Christ must be used in the service of the Lord in sacrifice. But in Job 31 and 20, I find that Job could say that his fleece had been used in God's service for the good, for the covering of the perishing. What a way to use your life. This fleece that the Lord has given us by the death of his Lamb, God can take it and use it in his service to reach the perishing, to save the dying, to bring the lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner to the knowledge of sins forgiven in Christ. I think if we are honest with ourselves, we may well admit, Lord, we have lost the vision of what we are really saved for. We're saved and we're stuck. We're satisfied, but we're stuck. We have this fleece from God. We wrap it round ourselves and self-contentedly we keep ourselves warm, just spiritually warm enough to go on from day to day. But out there there's a world perishing in the arctic coldness of sin, and they're about to perish eternally. And God says, your life, not just your neighbors, not just your churches, but your life should be given to cover them, to reach them, to warm them with the gospel, to save them by the grace of God. A fleece. Insignificant. Small. What would one fleece be in the midst of an apostate nation? What can one little fleece do? Nothing much. But then, as the hymn writer said, little is much when God is in it. So Gideon brought this fleece to the Lord, and he wanted to prove the Lord with this thing that I take as a very clear picture of his own life. He asked for two things. First of all, that the fleece be wet, while all around it, the surrounding ground, would be dry. Now, there is a miracle here, and I'm not wanting to spend a lot of time on that particular physical miracle tonight. But I want you to think of this. Remember, this is a picture of Gideon's life. And he's saying to the Lord, Lord, I want to prove you in two ways. These are the two ways that every one of us is going to have to prove God. Lord, first and foremost, though all around me be dry, fill me. Fill me. He took that fleece and it was full with the water from heaven, and he was able to wring it out, a bowl full of water, but all the ground around was dry and barren. Oh, my friend, if there is a prayer that you and I need to be praying tonight, this is the prayer. We're living in a day where there is a barren land around us. There is spiritual dryness and spiritual deadness. The absence of the Holy Spirit from the life of the church today and the efforts of the church today is alarming in the highest degree. We live in a day, even in our fundamentalist churches, where there is a practical denial of any such reality as being filled with the Holy Ghost. We have now a generation of fundamentalists who have reacted to the charismatic heresy by denying, in the effective terms, denying any such thing as being filled with the Holy Ghost. I've heard fundamentalists who say this is a mark of their orthodoxy. We do not believe in the Keswick heresy. You know, I'm not a believer in what is called the Keswick message. I don't believe, as some of the Keswick brethren took it, that there is a second blessing and an eradication of sin and a virtual sinless perfection. I don't believe that. But you know, I get a little irate, I have to be honest, when I hear some little man who has never done anything much for God take men like Andrew Murray and just wipe them off the face of God's map. And they say, this is a matter of my orthodoxy. I'm not an Andrew Murray. I would to God they were a bit more like Andrew Murray. He's a Keswick man. And while I don't endorse all that Andrew Murray ever thought, said, or taught, Nonetheless, I do believe that Andrew Murray had an experience of the fullness of the Holy Ghost that we would do well to have.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.